Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. This is Calais Bidlon, otherwise known as Kelly Bidley. How you doing on a Friday?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, man. There's no time for small talk. Let me just get the small talk out of the way. We got Paul Carr coming up, Premier League a little later on here this hour. Jason Weingart from under a cloud of smoke with all his bets. And then our Football Fridays, Fezzik can't make it today. So we're going to get some version of Felica and Dr. Bob with Zach Cohen filling in for Fezzik.
Yeah, maybe Felica, right?
Maybe Felica.
Cue the Thanksgiving travel issues. That's what we got.
Think planes, trains, and automobiles.
Right, yeah. Him and then you after the show, which I wish I could have a camera on you running through the airport.
This show ends at what, 8:56?
Yeah.
Boarding is at 9:55.
The pre-show conversation was football moves is Gil going to have to bust out in the airport? Has stiff arms? Some people spin move. You said the swim, right?
Swim move.
Doing did I like moves. TSA?
and we have a NFL. Are we sure? A little later on the show, where we ask the question: are we sure about any number of things? And the larceny smooth bet of the week. We'll do that as well. But we must begin with. I've been doing guessing lines for over a decade. I have obviously, as you have, watched football for your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure there was ever a sequence of worse coaching malpractice than we saw in that Bears-Lions game yesterday. Let's just get, we don't usually give the guessing lines treatment to Thursday games, but we have to for this one. Lions win it somehow, should have covered this going away in the first half, but they hang on for a 23-20 win over the Chicago Bears. 3-0 Detroit. Detroit after a horrific challenge on the first play by Eberflus on their subsequent drive. Well, that will go away in history, yep. Right? That was like, at that point, if it had just ended the day for Eberflus, you would have still been like, that's the worst challenge I've ever seen on a Jameson Williams catch versus was it a fumble? It was so clearly, everything we know about football was so clearly an incomplete pass, but he challenged it anyway and failed. Detroit then to Amon St. Brown after that for 29, two plays later. It's a 10-play, 90-yard drive. Goff to Laporta. Laporta ended up being 10-0 after another Chicago 3-and-out. Detroit, after getting the ball first and goal at the 3, had to settle for a Bates 36-yard field goal to make it 13-0 after another Chicago 3-and-out. By the way, at this point, 214-11 in total yards in favor of the Lions at 13-0, 15-0 in terms of first downs.
It's incredible.
After Chicago 3-and-out, Bates, another field goal, 16-0. And at this point, 253-15 in total yards, 17-0 in first downs. Another Chicago 3-and-out. Detroit, two plays after a 4th-and-1 conversion on a neutral zone infraction by the Bears. They have 2nd-and-6 at the Chicago 19 with 101 left in the first half. They're up 16-0. Goff to Gibbs for 13, hit by Tyreek Stevenson. Ball spins out, recovered by Jervon Dexter Sr.
Ugh.
And after that, by the way, Chicago got their first down of the game on a 14-yard pass to Kmet. So at the half, 279-53 in total yards, 18-2 in first downs. The Lions ran 47 offensive plays, which to this moment in the NFL season is the most in any half by any team. 47-19, 22-54-706 time of possession, and yet only 16-0 Lions.
Okay.
And for those of us who bet the Lions late yesterday, yesterday morning, I immediately texted everybody. I'm like, I don't like this score.
Okay. I was just going to ask you.
This score at all.
Okay. So as a football person at halftime, I mean, everybody was thinking the same thing, yep. Right? This score should be way bigger. This should be in blowout territory already. As my football mind, Gil, said there's really nothing to worry about, though, still, if you're the Lions.
I think we all had that thought, too.
But as gamblers, yes. when you were laying what you were laying, I had an alt. I was laying 13.5, and I'm like, okay, that's when you get angry about it, right? Because you're like, this should be way bigger than
I was so numb when this turned. I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. Because when the second half did happen, yep. Bears immediately have an offense. They matriculate. They score. Lions did respond with a touchdown, but the Bears responded with their own, missed the two-point conversion. So 23-13 then, all of a sudden here, early fourth quarter. The only other thing that we should mention before the final sequence is the Lions up 10 ended up having a Bates 45-yard field goal. That went wide left with 8:42 left in the game. Bears are still down 10. But then Chicago, after like a clear delay of game penalty not being called, they get a first down 3 plays later to DJ Moore from 31 out. 20-17 Lions with 5:36 left. And then Detroit gets the ball back. Usually what the Lions do in these situations is easily matriculate the ball down the field. No, 3 and out. 3 and out. Montgomery runs into the line of scrimmage on 3rd and short. And so the Bears get the ball back down 20-17. A millimeter from their own goal line with 3:31 left in this game. I'm sure we've seen it all, right? Oh, no. All right, so this is the sequence. They've got all 3 timeouts left, down 3:31 left at their own millimeter line, if you will. First play, they go to Keenan Allen. He chucks the ball at the official. He's frustrated that no flag was thrown, that his helmet was ripped off.
I didn't really get that either. I was like, is there not really going to be a flag here?
So already you're like, oh, here come the Bears. But then Caleb on 3rd and 7 at their own 4 burns a timeout for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you can save 1.5 to 2 yards in that situation and burn a timeout, I mean, you got to do it every time, right? Good God. So now they're down to 2 timeouts. But they overcome both of those gaffes. Both the Keenan Allen and the timeout gaffes, they overcome with a hookup to DJ Moore for 25. The Bears then overcome a subsequent 2nd and 15. So at midfield, at the 50, at the 2-minute warning, they've got the ball, 2 timeouts left. I text the group at that point. I go, the Bears will manage to not win this. Just muscle memory, right?
Man.
I had no idea how, though. So new set of downs. They have 2nd and 17. Nance calls a Caleb 13-yard run, a 6-yard pickup. Nance was not on his best game yesterday.
No.
2 plays later, 4th and 4 at the Detroit 44 with 1:04 left. Complete to DJ Moore, but called back on a Kmet pick. So it's 4th and 14 with 56 seconds left back in their own territory. Caleb heaves it, and Kendall Vildor is flagged for a PI on DJ Moore. Was it? Was it catchable? After a conference, which I was sure the refs were going to pick up the flag,
yeah,
they decide, no, it stands. So first down Bears, 46 seconds left, 2 timeouts left still at the Detroit 25. They're easily in field goal range now to tie the game up, but they're thinking Moore with 46 seconds left, right? They're thinking touchdown, mm-hmm. Down 3. Moore wide open on a crosser. Caleb throws it at his feet. That's the next play. 43 seconds left. Bears use their 2nd timeout to prevent a delay of game. Okay, so they've got 1 timeout left. Next snap to Allen for 12, but illegal use of the hands penalty on Tevin Jenkins. So now 36 seconds left, 2nd and 20 back at the 35. Still field goal rangy, although Cairo Santos has a problem with the trajectory, but still field goal rangy. It would be like a 52-yarder. 2nd and 20 back at the 35 with 36 seconds left. Caleb takes a 6-yard sack, and here is where the shenanigans begin. He takes a 6-yard sack. His butt hits the ground at 33 seconds. Let's call it 32 seconds. They still have a timeout, but now it would be like a 58 or 59-yard field goal. So now it's not really field goalish. Maybe, but maybe not. So his butt hits the ground with 32. The Lions are celebrating the sack. Caleb all of a sudden just starts to get frantically getting his team in order, to the right, to the left. They're in order around the 15-second mark. Everybody's lined up with 15 seconds left in the game. Again, they still have a timeout. The snap doesn't come till 6 seconds left. So between the 15-second mark and the 6-second mark, 9 precious seconds where they have a timeout, they don't use it. Not Caleb, not the sidelines, not nobody know how.
Not nobody. Because anybody on the field could call a timeout too, right, Gil?
Like, yes.
That is the other, I had to double-check that rule yesterday.
Yes.
I'm like, you do have guys like Keenan Allen on the field that have been playing in this league, yes, for a very long time.
So you know what happens. They finally snap it. Nance and Romo go, oh, my God, oh, my God. So he throws it downfield. It's incomplete. Ball game. The clock runs out. What did we just watch? I think everybody had that same reaction. What just happened? By the way, I was reminded of right at that moment, all 17 Detroit survivors in Circa survived with that as well.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And how rare is it for the network to actually run an autopsy on what just happened right after the game? CBS rolls it back to the 33-second mark, and they show the sequence of events. And by the way, Matt Eberflus looked completely nonplussed about the whole situation. He was like, oh, that's too bad what just happened. To me, this is the most unbelievable thing that we've watched here in recent history. I might be forgetting something, but if I'm blaming, right, and if I'm doing the Eberflus Caleb Williams blame pie chart, I'm going to go 80% on Eberflus, 20% on Caleb Williams.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. If not more.
Is this what Matt, me. Can we hear what
yeah,
Matt
yeah. Eberflus? Explain yourself, Matt Eberflus.
And then we're there at second and 20, you know, take the sack right there. And, you know, so we're at 36 seconds right there. And our hope was, because it was third going into fourth, that we would re-rack that play. At 18 seconds, throw it in bounds, get into the field goal range, and then call the timeout. And that's where it was. And that was our decision-making process on that. Again, we were outside the field goal range, you know, so we needed to get a few more yards in there as close as we can get. And then we're going to call timeout. And that's why we held that last timeout at the end of the game.
In retrospect, how should you have handled the final sequence?
Yeah, I like what we did there.
I like what we did there. I like what we did there. Matt Eberflus, you seem like a very nice guy. Head coaching might not be your thing. Head coaching just might not be it. We should save it for after the break because we're about to run on the clock. But the Caleb Williams thing, the word salad from Caleb Williams after the game, was equally like just stunning in its meaninglessness.
I like what we did there. What?
I know a lot of people, there are some people who don't want to blame Eberflus the most. Eberflus deserves the most blame. You are the head coach. I don't care that you're a defensive guy. You're the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
You must call the timeout. It's on you. Have you not coached football before? By the way, it showed complete. It reflected that they never practiced this sequence in practice during the week. And they have to have a contingency plan. Hey, if you get sacked, you then do this.
Yeah.
They had no preparation, no discipline in any of this. More on this on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. And he was flaunting the so much more than a producer part yesterday with side and side. Side of the week.
See, that's where the so much more than a producer doesn't make sense to me, because that's just me being a producer.
Just trying to help you out, man.
We get tweets at
Beat of the Book, Charles in Connecticut at Hoop Homer. He says, it doesn't feel like a Friday at all until I saw the 11 a.m. power hour with Zach filling in for Fez. Shocker. He's looking for Black Friday deals. LOL. And I remembered, oh, yeah, it's Friday. That's how I remember to go to work.
I texted you. I was driving downtown this morning. And I'm like, what is going on downtown? There's a billion cars. Like, what is this traffic jam? Let me let Gil know so he can get here a little earlier. And then I just drive right by it and downtown's like wide open. I'm like, oh, my God, all those cars are out there for the outlet malls.
For the what?
For the what? The outlet malls or whatever.
Oh, the
right
outlet
here.
Malls. Yeah.
It's 2024. I haven't been in a mall in forever.
I know. It's so funny. Intoxicated Savant. Dumbo of the week is already a runaway with Bears clock management. If a coach has a worse blunder than that, they should be fired before leaving the stadium. By the way, Dumbo of the week is a segment we do on the Beating the Book Megapod. I got about 10 of these where it's like Eberflus can't be beat. Can't be beat. Andrew Rinn talking about the fact that they're flexing games in week 17, or there might be a bunch of potential flexes, and if it has any impact on Survivor, they're all playing those games still though.
Yeah.
So flex doesn't matter in that case. The Better Life Tim Lawson cut to a shot of Gil pulling a Saquon reverse hurdle as he gets to his gate today at the airport.
I was laughing coming back for break to that one, Tim. You're right. I forgot of all the moves I mentioned. I forgot about that one. I would pay good money to see that one.
Greg in Boise, Idaho. He says it's 27 degrees and I'm on the way to the game. And although Genty is banged up, it's not going to be easy to bring him down this morning. 10 a.m. football feels like 6 a.m. work.
I'm going to tackle that guy in 27 degrees.
Genty and Travis Hunter both playing concurrently this morning in college football. Las Vegas 514, yo. Hope you enjoyed your holiday. Not a raisin in sight at my place. Tell Kelly I'm going to try corn next year. Let's go. Chris Hartman. Gents, something epic is going to happen to dethrone the leader in the clubhouse, Matt Eberflus, for Megapod Bozo of the Week. Mark Descartes, his attempt to defend his decision, talking about Eberflus, is more of a fireable offense than the decision itself, in my opinion.
I agree. Like, it's one thing to insult us with your football play already, but then to try to back it up, it's
unbelievable. We were told, Elliot, who produces Lombardi before this, told us that so far, Eberflus going to his normal day after Bears duties at that point. But I just want to say this. I'm going to say this again. And 100%. Look, it clearly showed that they never practice these situations when they're at actual practice during the week. And before every play in those late game situations, you have to have the play, the next play, pre-thought of, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And communicated. Hey, in the event that we get... You know, the object should be we'll get some yards, then we'll kick the field goal. In the event that you get a sack, which is what happened, .. Here's what we do. But he is ultimately, you just kind of just call the timeout. What are you doing? So I just want to say this because earlier I said, what's your pie chart? Mm. I believe it's 80% Eberflus. He deserves most of the blame. You're the head coach. But I just want to say that Caleb Williams to me is not absolved of all responsibility here either.
Sure.
And here's what Caleb Williams had to say. I just want to read this transcript. This is unbelievable. So on if the 7 seconds that they took to snap the ball after being set was because he was changing the play. By the way, it's more like 9 seconds. Caleb Williams said, yeah, I ended up changing the play because with the play we had, 13 seconds, any play you have with 13 seconds with no, well, you had a timeout, but with that situation, 13 seconds, make a call and try to get it snapped and take the shot. Huh? What? Here's the other one. On what he believes would have been the ideal set of decisions in the final seconds with regard to clock management. Quote, I mean, by the way, I love what it starts with. I mean, we could take a timeout. We've got the guys on the field. They're a big man team and they're a big man team and we took a shot, meaning the coverage, and we took a shot. And with that, you live with it. The right decision. Everybody can, as we always say, and y'all don't know, but as we always say, you can always hold that clicker and press pause or slow-mo, but the right decision is if I hit that play to roam, it would be a different conversation in here. So the right play isn't always, you can't always make the right play. You've got to make a decision and go with it. Say what now? So what he was basically saying is, as fans,
is he just saying
we can stop it and we can rewind it and we can do an autopsy like this, and it's easy for us to do that, but what's actually happening on the field isn't as easy as we're making it out to be.
He's trying to say the hindsight's 20/20 thing, right? But no, man, like this is...
So I just want to say this about Caleb Williams. Listen, you've played football all your life too, right? You've played football as a kid. You played it at a high level, Gonzaga High School in D.C. And then, of course, at USC, you won the Heisman Trophy. Let me just put it this way, Kelly. And we go months, we talk for months about who's going to get drafted and who's going to get drafted first.
Mm-hmm.
If a NFL team asked him, and this, by the way, ought to be what NFL teams do heading up into a draft. If this is the situation late in a football game, what do you do here? If this was Caleb Williams' answer to this question, this word salad of this, that, the other, all this, not only would you not draft him first, you wouldn't draft him at all. Have you learned anything about football either? Like, I don't think he's completely absolved. I absolutely give Eberflus most of the blame. But Caleb Williams is not absolved of it either.
I need a piece on that pie chart, too, to say it off air to you. A piece on the pie chart for the rest of the coaching staff, too. Because if I'm a head coach in the NFL, I would like to have assistant coaches that care enough about the team that they should be screaming in my ear until I fire them or listen to them about whether I should take the time out.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no way that everybody on that coaching staff was in lockstep of like, oh yeah, this is the right thing to do. We are totally doing the right thing right now. I don't believe that for a second.
And like I said, Eberflus couldn't have been bothered at the end of that game. His expression after that game is tough one. Anyway, Lions get by. Let me just ask you this. Do you feel any differently about the Lions after that game?
Weird game, no. I mean, I just think they I mean, I think it started in the first half of like, it was, oh man, all right, this is what we thought it was going to be. We're running all over these clowns. We are so much better. Like, let's start making Thanksgiving plans already. And then it's second half. Uh-oh, this is getting a little tighter. Uh-oh, it's getting a little tight. I don't really take away anything from that. I think it was just a bad game.
I think you're probably
really predictive of what's to come.
I think you're probably right. Giants and Cowboys. Cowboys win. I have nothing to say, and I don't think we should spend any time on it. I really don't. The Cowboys won. Okay, great.
You feeling anything? Actually, I'll save it for Are We Sure? Never mind.
You're saving for what?
Micah Parsons comments after the game.
Oh, yeah, that I would like to talk about. Micah Parsons after the game is, we're going to make a run. I feel like we're going to make a run. Okay. Cowboys with their fifth. Sure. Yeah, make a run.
Is he working for ESPN now or something?
I have no idea.
You know that it's like, oh, good. We got three more weeks to talk about the Cowboys now because Michael Parsons thinks they got a shot.
Can I also say this about Thanksgiving football? It used to be that we just did the turducken thing on CBS with John Madden. Oh, and I get it now that they're tributing John Madden across the league. I find the whole players eating the turducken thing after the turkey legs after these games the most contrived bit of day-long hilarity going in sports. Do the networks think we enjoy it that much?
Good question. The other part of it is like, do you really think you'd be that, like, you'd be hungry immediately for greasy turkey leg after you've played 3 hours of football?
By the way, Joshua Jacobs was just pounding down the mac and cheese after their game.
I didn't see that.
Speaking of which.
I'm also trying to figure out, how do you get six legs on a turducken? That's what I was trying to figure out. Did you see that one? There was like six legs. I'm like, how does that work?
They're always with six legs, right? Because they managed to somehow do it that
way.
It's
like the turkey, like you get all the bird's legs.
That's correct. Yeah, it's always six. Everybody knows that, Kelly. Green Bay beats Miami in the nightcap. And this is why we do guessing lines on Monday. The first reaction is often the best. Last week, remember, the game I liked was Baltimore beating and covering the spread against the Chargers on Monday night. This week, it was the Packers beating and covering the spread against the Dolphins. Both get home, and the Packers do it with a very, very dominant first half. And then they kind of also, you know, Dolphins got back in the game to the point where there was one moment where you're like, are the Dolphins really going to make this interesting? And then they had the sequence where it was second and goal at the one, Achan got stuffed, third and goal incomplete, then fourth and goal, Tua got sacked. And that was kind of the end of that. The Packers were leading 27-11 at the time. They end up winning 30-17. But again, they dominated the first half. They led 24-3 at halftime, and it was a 213-121 total yards advantage. Let me just say this. The number one bit of handicapping, that was stated not just on this show, but on every show that you heard was the Dolphins have trouble in the cold. Tua has trouble in the cold. If you don't believe me that actually manifested, here's Dolphins linebacker Jordan Brooks with his thoughts. Okay, maybe not.
Or not.
Anyway, Jordan Brooks, the Dolphins linebacker, he thought it was because we're soft in the cold. So,
he said it.
He said it, not me.
He said it.
I mean, do you believe that the handicap ended up being that simple, that the Dolphins had that much trouble in the cold? I kind of think it was part of it. I really do.
It was a big part of it. At least early, right? At least early.
Yeah, at least early. They missed 30 tackles, didn't they? Something like that?
Yes, I saw 20-something, but yeah, it was up there.
According to Next Gen Stats, the Dolphins missed 20 tackles, which directly led to 132 additional yards for the Packers. Soft.
I'm good.
Coming back. Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin alongside. This is usually Football Friday hour. It still is, but Fezzik is off today.
Yeah, give him the day off.
He called a shot early in the week, too. He's like, just to let you know, I got a lot going on. But Zach Cohen will join us instead. So we're looking forward to that. So it's Felica, Zach, and Dr. Bob with a little NFL bets, Are We Sure? A little NFL bets and Are We Sure? Tossed in. in the middle of it. Let me get some tweets before we get to Felica. Shooter McGamblin. Cam Ward still exists in the Heisman race. Also, I took a bite at 15-1 for an award that has traditionally been awarded to the best quarterback on the best team. I like those odds. 12-1 conference champs, maybe. Jason McKinney, Turducken is wonderful, but it's got to be done right. When I was watching the end of the Bears-Lions, I'm pretty sure I heard Todd Wishnev losing his mind. Ice Cold Gambler, man, I hate to admit it when I'm wrong, but Kelly proved me wrong and made it into work today. Good for you, Kelly.
Yeah, haters.
The Friday streak starts today. Happy weekend, guys. Yeah, you noticed too, huh? Brian Schaefer, with your outlook on Gentry winning the Heisman, which I agree with, he says, shouldn't the same be for Saquon winning MVP in the NFL? He breaks all the NFL rushing records, and they still give the award to a quarterback, then they will never give it to a running back. Let's call it a QVP. Brian, I think you're right. And Aaron Schatz, who's one of the 50, the biggest difference is, right, there's 938 Heisman votes. There's literally 50 for these NFL awards. That's the biggest difference. But you're right. If Saquon breaks all the records and they don't give it to Saquon, you're absolutely right. They'll never give it to a running back. Never. Unless you have some outlying year where like no quarterback shines, the likelihood of that is very slim. But that's the only scenario.
Still trying to figure out QVP. So just
a quarterback valuable player is what he's trying to say. Yeah. Not most valuable player. Kyle D at Dom Colarelli. This is why I dislike head coaches doing play calling. It pulls them away from their head coaching responsibilities. You have a rookie quarterback and a rookie-ish OC play caller. And Flus just froze, but Caleb's lack of telling time is concerning, too. Charitable Gambler, we don't often disagree to this degree. Your main argument against Travis was the best wide receiver in college football is so great that he'll be playing cornerback next year. Genty is great. He's not close to Hunter. No, my main argument is he's not the best quarterback. He's not the best wide receiver, nor is he the best cornerback. He has great stats on both sides. But the stats don't necessarily bear that out in either case. And so I'm just saying what Genty does, he is so elite in doing. And Travis Hunter is still the number one resume thing he has is that he plays both sides of the football. He's great. Don't get me wrong. I love the dude. He's incredible. But I don't know if that wins you a Heisman over a guy who's breaking records. For an award historically, by the way, the Heisman, that in a previous era of football was always given to running backs. So there is a little bit of hearkening back to that as well that might be in some of the voters' minds. Anyway, Travis Hunter is still the prohibitive favorite. He's likely to win, maybe, but plus 750, I'm willing to take my shot on that. Chris Felica joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, from Columbus, Ohio, where it took him two planes to get there. He, of course, is the Bear. El Oso from Fox Sports, Big Noon Saturdays, and, of course, the Bear Bets podcast. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing much better now that I am here. Little bit of a delay in Detroit, but we've made it here on time. Would be better if I would have played Memphis money line last night to get off of the Memphis under win total from Dr. Bob. It would have been a nice clean sweep, but a clean break would have gotten off that. But you know how the holidays go. You got stuff going on.
Yeah, man.
But we're okay. I'd be better too if Ibrahim Konate did not hurt his knee Wednesday against Real Madrid, and I was going to miss over a month. So that's a bad day. That's a bad deal as well. But enough about my maladies in this sport.
let me get to the game you're at. Of course, Ohio State, yeah. Michigan. Listen, growing up on the East Coast, pick your poison, either Auburn, Alabama, or Michigan, Ohio State. Those are the two best rivalries in college football. I know there's rivalries across the country, but for those of us who grew up in that side of the country, it was always a toss-up between those two. Ryan Day and Ohio State, huge favorites here. He's got to get the proverbial monkey off his back. So let me just ask it this way. Is there any chance in your mind that they gack this whole thing? Forget
no.
about the cover.
No.
No.
No. The way their defense has played since the game at Oregon, when Larry Johnson and Jim Knowles came under all that criticism about the defensive scheme and not really being rushing the passer in certain ways, they've changed it up. They kind of sent Larry Johnson to the timeout corner. And since then, they have not allowed a touchdown pass. They've led four touchdowns and 15 red zone trips. They lead the nation in sacks over that five-game stretch. Michigan's offense is terrible. This will not be a close game tomorrow.
Not be a close game. What do you believe is your what is bettable? What are your favorite bets of the weekend? Today and tomorrow?
Let's see. I don't have it broken down by day, so I'm just going to start rambling. I do know, though, today, Miami of Ohio at Bowling Green. I like Miami of Ohio. I think there are some threes that have begun to pop. I don't know if that indicates that Harold Fanning Jr., Bowling Green's great tight end, is going to play. But I do like BG. I think Miami's defense late in the year has played very, very well. And I think if you look at compare the schedules, they have kind of had a tougher road to go in the MAC. They had to play Ohio U, which is a really good team. They beat Ohio U. So that ultimately will hold the tiebreak for them over Ohio U if they want to be in a tiebreak. But I do like Miami of Ohio. I like the way they have played late in the year. So I took the 2.5, and now you can get a better number than me. Three.
There you go. Little matching while Gentry and Travis Hunter are playing.
That's going to be interesting for Boise State today. Like, I'm curious how they handle it, because I remember a couple of years ago, and we talked about this at the time, about how, remember when David Shaw played Bryce Love
yes.
in that Notre Dame game, which really didn't mean anything, and he got nicked up even more, and that wind up costing him the Pac-12 title game and the Rose Bowl. Like, I don't think Jenke's going to win the Heisman, but you kind of need to let him play, even though he's been nicked up. Next week's the game you need to win. You beat UNLV, you're going to the playoff. So you need him as healthy as he can be. So I'm curious to see how they play that coming up here in a little while.
By the way, let me just interrupt, too. The Bryce Love thing, I think that's one of these players that gets lost in history.
Totally.
He played hurt so often. That I want to, I believe in my heart that it ruined his entire career. I really do.
I wouldn't doubt that at all. I would buy that. If you were selling stock in that, I believe that.
Yeah. Anyway, it is what it is. But yes, I understand your point. The game against UNLV is the one that matters for Boise State. Right. Absolutely.
And I'll be there next week for that. I'm looking forward to that.
There you go.
Yeah, which would be good. Love Boise. Other plays. No natural segue there. Sam Houston State getting 2.5 against Liberty. I don't know if threes are still out there. The Bearcats have struggled to score at times, but they have a chance to make the Conference USA title game. It's not in their hands. They need to win today against Liberty and then hope that Jacksonville State doesn't really lick the stamp and mail it in. They've already clinched their spot. They play Western Kentucky, who needs to beat Jacksonville State to get there. So you might get a rematch there, but I think Sam Houston State does beat Liberty today. This is not the same Liberty team that we have seen in recent years. I think they go out there. Defense has played well most of the year. So I think Bearcats with a K get the home win. I like Baylor getting 1.5 against Kansas. I just look at the way Kansas's last month has gone. You blew that game against Kansas State. Like, they had fourth quarter leads in basically all their games. You lose that game, and then the grim reaper of the Big 12, KU, you knock off Iowa State, you knock off BYU, you knock off Colorado last week. That's a hell of a month. And now I just wonder, does Lance Leipold's team have anything left for this game where you go on the road to Baylor, you win it, you get bowl eligible after being 2-6, which would be an unbelievable achievement. But the one thing about Dave Aranda's team, I think, even though their defense hasn't been great, I still trust Dave Aranda to kind of draw up a scheme to slow down Devin Neal. They're 1.5 underdog at home against KU. I like Baylor here getting a point. They've been a different team offensively as well since they kind of let Sawyer Robertson take over the controls at quarterback. So I took Baylor. And then you might want to wait on this one. Again, I had to write up a column and I had to make plays. So I took Houston plus 13 against BYU. At the time of writing this, you don't know what the game is going to mean for BYU. Maybe they have a chance to get to the Big 12 championship game. Maybe they do not. So I don't have the luxury of waiting. If it's a win and in game for BYU, you're probably going to see this number go north of 14. But I don't think Willie Fritz's team mails it in here. Defensively, they've been pretty good for much of the year. BYU, we've kind of seen the one possession games kind of regress to the mean the last couple of weeks when they've lost. I know Houston is a team that's been down, but Willie Fritz is building a program, building a culture. He ran off a lot of guys there. As a big underdog here, getting 13, I'm happy with that. I don't think they go to Provo and get blown out at all. So Houston plus 13 would be the fourth and final play I got for you.
Anything with Texas A&M?
I lean over because I'm not sure how good Texas A&M's defense really is. We were on Auburn last week, and I didn't expect Auburn to basically go up and down the field on them. I know Texas's offense has not been great. But I get a feeling Texas shows up. They go on the road, and I think they get the win, and probably be a little bit more of a higher scoring game. Because I think the Longhorns have a chance to put up some points there.
All right, with 2 weekends of college football before we find out who is in the playoff. The playoff that begins a little over three weeks from now.
The 19th, Friday the 19th,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the 19th, so exactly 3 weeks from now, 20 days from now. Who do you believe is the surprise? As you see it coming down these last 2 weeks, as you see these games developing and resulting, who do you think ends up being the surprise?
A surprise in terms of getting in?
Yes, or getting out, whichever way you want to answer that.
Let me take a quick little look here at the...
Is it UNLV getting in? Is it... What do you believe?
That would be a very good one, because I think the way Boise has played the last couple of weeks, I actually took a little UNLV plus 240 to win the Mountain West last week.
Okay.
If you look at how Boise has played against Nevada, how they played against Hawaii, how they played against San Jose State, how they played last week at Wyoming, they might be that team that just peaked a little bit too early. So
okay.
We could be looking here at the Rebels with an opportunity to get into the...
Thank you, Chris.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, do you want to take down Brian Musburger in poker?
Yeah.
What about
give me that money.
What about Paulie Howard, Mike Palm, Dave Tooley, Adam Burke, or Scott Seidenberg?
All of them. especially Seidenberg's money. I'm coming for you, Scott.
Calling all VSiN poker players. VSiN has partnered with Poker Now, and together we're hosting an online poker tournament this Sunday, December 1st, 9 p.m. Eastern. You can win a golden passport for a free seat in the largest poker free roll ever, the World Poker Tour's $5 million free roll in Las Vegas later in December. Visit VSiN.com/poker and register today for your chance to win. That's VSiN.com/poker. Seidenberg's money, that's who you want to take the most?
I was trying to decide who I wanted most. Yeah. Yeah. I'll go Scott. We'll go Scott.
We had tweets at beating the book, the numbers guys. We've had Jason under a cloud of smoke, and now we've had the bear under a pillow covering his face. Audio got better the second half, but I had to look to see if he was underwater. Happy Thanksgiving.
Darnell and Brendan doing great work back there, trying to adjust the levels.
What you heard was their handiwork.
Yeah. It is always tough with Chris. And what's one of the things we love about having Chris on this time of the week? He is on location every single week. What's the tough part technically with that? He's in a different spot every week.
That's right. DJ Jams. De Bears should have left Eberflus in Detroit. And when the owner was questioned by reporters on his decision, their response should have been, "I like our decision there." LOL. A la what Eberflus had to say after that debacle yesterday. Steve the Proxy. Remember that time when Caleb Williams and his dad were trying to negotiate equity in the team that drafted him? This is the most hilarious idea after 12 games of Caleb. Maybe he works out when they get a new coaching staff, but equity for a rookie quarterback, stop it. Remember when he said they would never punt also? And Jaden Daniels went like the first 8 games or 7 games, whatever it was, and the Skins had punted like 3 times.
Did Caleb say that? I don't remember that.
Yeah, he said that.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Paul Zhang, love the Falcons this week off a bye and a short week for LA. Also, no Dobbins. He's with you.
It's a lot of the spot stuff, right? The stuff that Matt Brown hates. Yeah. Matt Brown coming up next, I think. He hates it, but it is. It's the short week, travel to the East Coast, West Coast team traveling east, having to play early, the Falcons off a bye.
Which brings us to our G-Bank Best Bets of the Week, or in the Best Bets of the Day, courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. Do I get honors here, Your Honor?
Yeah, sure.
All right, I get you honors.
Should have texted them all to you.
Genty plus 750, as we just talked about, to win the Heisman. He's about to take the field here in about a half hour. Bengals, I got the Bengals minus 2.5 against the Steelers. This on the heels of a Packers win. Packers is what I loved best this week in the NFL, but my other two on the Megapod, which I bet... Bengals minus 2.5 against the Steelers. I think the Bengals are a better football team than the Steelers. Sorry, Steelers fans. I think that. Sorry. And then I'm taking the Cardinals plus the 3.5 against the Minnesota Vikings. Kelly Bidlin, what do you got here?
Both years I like, by the way. I've like gone back and forth considering them like all week, it feels like, but I haven't added them yet. Seattle's kind of on that list for me, too. Thunder tonight, I could not believe this line when it opened. Money line was like 115. They were like 1-point favorites. It's out to 3 now, which seems a little bit more appropriate. But
it's a trap.
I still like it against the Lakers. We saw a similar line against the Golden State Warriors the other night when it looked like Steph was going to play.
Yeah.
Warriors, better team than Lakers. This was pretty easy for me to pull the trigger on the Thunder here.
I love when people in sports betting say it's a trap.
It's a trap. Yeah. I will say it makes me a little uneasy. Like I didn't go as big on this tonight as I normally would with it being the random day after Thanksgiving. There's just too many things to get in my own head about that, mm-hmm. of how it might affect these guys. NFL this weekend, Falcons money line, Rams laid to 2.5, Bills laid the 5.5 on the opener. And as I kind of just discussed, several more I'm considering adding, but haven't added. Seattle, I think I'm going to end up on. I think I'm going to end up on Seattle.
Jason Weingarten joins us. He's on Oklahoma State taking the points against Colorado this morning. That also kicks off in a little less than a half hour. And he's on the Chargers versus the Falcons. Mm-hmm. People have opinions on that game. Chris Felik of the Bear came on from Columbus. He is today. He's got two today, two tomorrow. Today, he's taking Miami of Ohio plus the points against Bowling Green. A little maction for you. Sam Houston. Taking Sam Houston plus the 2.5 against Liberty. Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. That's not the theme song for Liberty University? No? Okay. Tomorrow, Baylor plus the 1.5 against Kansas. And then Houston plus 13, taking the 13 points against BYU. Also, Chris Felica, by the way, side note off like bonus picks.
Bonus picks.
Text message version. He also, in a hypothetical... In a hypothetical ACC championship, he's got ahead. SMU plus the points, and he has...
He said it's up at FanDuel, 3.5, likes the 3.5 with SMU.
And he also, Man City, we were talking about Man City mm-hmm. earlier, winless in their last six. He has them to, let me just get
to
this
be relegated.
Right. To be relegated.
Yeah, at 10-1.
10-1. Really? We talk about relegation?
Yeah, this is all the This is all the penalty stuff or whatever that's hanging over their heads that they can be penalized.
That's part of the equation, though, part of the calculus. That's right. And then Zach Cohen just came on. He's got Amen Thompson 20-1 for sixth man of the year. Stephon Castle 8-1 rookie of the year. And then in college football, he's on Vandy plus the points. He's laying the wood with Indiana against Purdue, laying the 29. He, too, is on the Chargers. And Zach is bolder than all of us.
Yeah.
He's on the New York Jetropolitans against the Seattle Seahawks.
Amen Thompson, Zach's making me do homework here early because that is one I'll have to dig into a little bit more. Sixth man of the year market is not one I've been very active in. Amen Thompson's been awesome. I think his note of just some of the other books being at 7 or 8 to 1 already on him is very telling. So 20 is nice there. And Stephon Castle, man, we are like... Next 15 years might be him and Wemby anchoring that defense, point of attack and rim defense there. That Spurs duo could be quite talented for a long time to come.
Yeah.
I like his bet there.
UConn team is aging well from last year. Paul Carr, Premier League bets. Tomorrow, Brentford first half win versus Leicester City. Nottingham Forest with a win over Ipswich Town. And then Sunday's got Liverpool over Man City. Liverpool over Man City. Your best bets brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. GBank Visa Signature Card is your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. Which brings us, Kelly, to Are We Sure? Estamos Seguros.
That's right.
In the National Football League. What you got?
Hey, Gil. Are we sure that Matt Eberflus is going to be a head coach by the time I have my first drink today?
We are not. when are you having your first drink today?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That's part of the question.
Are you having
it
right after the show or are you waiting until tonight?
It's several hours after the show.
We're not 100% sure. I mean, there is no excuse for what happened yesterday. We went through it earlier on the show. I don't know how you can continue as a professional football team with this guy as your head coach.
I agree.
At the same time, what are you, 4-8 now? Yeah, go interim. I am not 100% sure. We are not sure that he will be a head coach before your first drink today.
I'm not even sure he should have been one heading into the season.
Okay. I'm not even. First of all, he should have been gone several times this year.
Yeah. Zach Cohen adding into what is this, the Hardwood Handicappers text message, plus 450 he's seeing on that Amen Thompson bet places. Okay. Wow, okay. Are we sure? The Cowboys still have a chance because Micah Parsons says it, Gil.
No, we're not sure. In fact, we know they're not. They don't have a chance. No, they don't. Micah Parsons, we're going to make a run, was his exact quote yesterday. Yeah, probably not, Micah. for the Cowboys, who, by the way, have got Dave Ross all happy. But no, you're not going to make it. We are not only nor are we not sure, we are sure the other way.
All I know is Lombardi line gets a whole lot better if Dave Ross still has some belief in the Cowboys. So that's good. That is good. I like that. All right. This one we've kind of already answered already, but I'll throw it back at you. Are we sure the cold affects the Dolphins?
We're not 100% sure that it was the main thing that was at play yesterday. But we're kind of sure about it.
Oh, I think we're sure.
I mean, we're sure that it has something to do with it. Right. How did you phrase the question?
I just said, are we sure the cold affects the Dolphins?
Oh, yes. Then it absolutely affects
them. Because we heard a dang player say it.
Jordan Brooks said it himself, the linebacker. And again, let me just quote the stat from Next Gen Stats. I'll read it here. According to Next Gen Stats, the Dolphins missed 20 tackles in the loss, which directly led to 132 additional yards for the Packers. And again, if you ever grew up in a cold weather place, which you did not in the United States. I don't know how much cold weather football you played.
I mean, I did spend a few years in Anchorage, Alaska and Moscow, Russia, but okay.
So I just remember as a kid, like there was nothing more fun than playing football in the snow. But if it got icy,
yes,
and you were playing full pad tackle football, it hurt so much when you were crunching into people and tackling them and getting tackled. No, it's not fun at all.
It's not.
Okay, not that there was ice yesterday, but cold is cold and it hurts. And if you're not used to it, yeah, it affects them. It absolutely affects the Dolphins, and it does historically. Again, now 0-12 in their last 12.
All right, I'm going to skip ahead to one. Are we sure you and I could last longer than 2 minutes on the ice rink at Fountain Blue? This is a surprise.
There's an ice rink at Fountain Blue?
Oh, Fountain Blue has, I don't know if it's on top of their pool or their actual pool.
Cosmo has one on their pool now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So they got an ice rink out there.
What do you mean last?
When's the last time you've been on skates?
Several years back in New York at 30 Rock. What do you mean by last?
Years?
Meaning not fall?
But yes, yeah.
Oh, no.
Would you eat it?
No, when Gracie was 13, I used to go in San Francisco all the time with her.
Really?
I'll stay afloat.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Kill the favorite over me.
Yeah. For sure.
Wow.
And then finally, eventually, I did fall, but it took a while. Took a while, at least. We'll come back. Dr. Bob, college football next, right here on The Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.